even in just summer league, Keegan Murray has proved without a shadow of a doubt in my mind that he should be a night one starter for the Sacramento Kings. What are the arguments against that outcome? Let's discuss them on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all off season. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm a Sacramento sports producer and reporter at ABC 10 News, and we've done it. We've officially reached the worst part of the year, the worst time of the year. Summer League is over. Free agency still technically is going on. The Kings could still technically make trades, and especially with the looming possibilities of trading both Kevin Durant and Donovan Mitchell, maybe the Sacramento Kings somehow involve themselves in those trade sweepstakes. Not necessarily to land those two guys, but like I did or said in an earlier episode of Locked On Kings, maybe the Kings can find their way into those deals as like a third team to land a piece or two. I'm not saying that everything is dead for a while, but for the most part, everything's dead for a while. Like, no summer league now. Summer league's wrapped up. It's over. Obviously, the draft is done. The main parts of free agency is over with. Now we have the long wait through the month of August and half of September before training camp begins. Then things pick back up. You have preseason, the start of the regular season in October. But the reality is, after yesterday's Kings win over the Houston Rockets to wrap up summer league, we don't have any Kings basketball to watch until October. Now that I've depressed you, or maybe you're looking forward to that break. Maybe you're a football fan and you're counting down the days till, I think training camps for football begin like next week or something like that. So maybe that can hold you over. I don't do a football podcast, so it's a little rough for me. But the good news is we still do have a lot of things to talk about from now until October. Schedule is going to be changing a little bit. I'll touch on that at the end of today's Locked On Kings podcast. But really quickly, before we dive into the meat and potatoes of the conversation that we're having about Keegan Murray and whether or not he's a day one starter for the Sacramento Kings, the summer league as a whole for Sacramento, if you include the California Classic, Kings go 6-2. Out of those eight games, Keegan Murray plays seven of them. He scores 20 or more points in six out of those seven games. Ended up averaging, I think, 21 points per game and seven rebounds a game, something like that, in Las Vegas summer league. Shot 50% from the field, around 40% from three-point range, and I think 81% from the free throw line. He absolutely is under consideration for summer league MVP. If he doesn't get it, I tweeted this out, and it sounds silly to say about a summer league award, but he could be the biggest snub in the history of that award. I absolutely think he deserves it. I know you can't take the California Classic into consideration, but even if you did, the worst game that he had was during the California Classic, not during Summer League. The fact that he didn't play against the Houston Rockets, I don't think that should have any effect on his Summer League MVP status. I think it's good that he didn't play that game, as much as I maybe wanted to see him play another game, just because I know it's going to be forever until we can see him play again, right? It was good for the Sacramento Kings to shut him down. They shut Nemias Cata down. They shut Keon Ellis down. They'd played enough. All three of those guys had played seven games. Well, kind of six and a half for Nemias Cata, who went out with that calf injury against the Indiana Pacers. Regardless, they played more than enough basketball. We were treated to great games throughout the course of this summer. And I have to say, even though the Kings will not repeat as Summer League champions, this summer league team, I thought, was very entertaining. And the fact that the, for lack of a better term, second stringer squad still beat Jabari Smith Jr. and the Houston Rockets, good on them. I think 92-81 was the final score or something like that. So I really enjoyed this summer league team this year. I'm hoping to see, definitely are going to see three of them spending time with the Sacramento Kings. But I'm hoping to see a good portion of that roster working with head coach Bobby Jackson in Stockton with the G League Stockton Kings. And maybe we'll see some of those faces back for Summer League next year. But I really enjoyed this team and wanted to express my appreciation for all of them, not just Keegan Murray and Kata and Ellis, but all of them for being entertaining, playing fast-paced, and killing a lot of the time during the summer. Plus, being able to go to Las Vegas and experience watching them in person gave me an even greater appreciation for what they do and how hard they have been working. So I wish those young men the absolute best in the next steps of their career. Again, hopefully we'll be seeing a lot of them playing in Stockton. But we'll now have to wait and see which of them, if any of them, in addition to the big three, get invites to training camp. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to Matt Coleman getting an invite. So we'll just kind of have to wait and see what the Sacramento Kings decide to do there. I thought Roden also played really, really well. Maybe he gets a training camp invite as well. But Summer League is over and done with. Now we turn our attention to, I shouldn't say meaningful basketball, because I've tried to express here on Locked On Kings how meaningful I do believe Summer League is for a lot of these players. But now we turn our attention to actual NBA basketball, right? We turn our attention to next season. And there still is time for Monty McNair and the Sacramento Kings to make some moves. I think between now and the beginning of training camp, hopefully I'm recording an episode talking about Monty McNair signing an extension, even though I don't think either side is necessarily desperate to get it done. At this point, it's more optics than anything else. I've been assured and reassured again that Monty McNair's job is not in any kind of jeopardy. How could it be when he's had such an excellent offseason like he's had, or at least we believe he's had an excellent offseason. He seems to have hit another complete home run in the draft with Keegan Murray, although still the jury is out on that. Typically have to give rookies a couple of years, and we haven't seen Keegan technically play NBA minutes yet. But that being said, to me, there's no reason why Keegan Murray shouldn't be starting at the four spot for the Sacramento Kings on opening night. There's no reason why for me. Like, I know the sample size that we've seen from Keegan is Summer League. We haven't seen him play in the preseason yet. We haven't seen him play in training camp yet. And yeah, that's going to provide some important context. If Keegan gets a lot of work with the starters in training camp and doesn't look very good, if we see Keegan starting throughout preseason and he looks terrible, maybe the Sacramento Kings decide, okay, maybe we're going to go in a different direction. I don't think that's going to happen. I think as soon as you plug Keegan in with De'Aaron Fox, DeMontis Sabonis, and the rest of that hypothetical starting lineup, Harrison Barnes as well, I think he's going to continue to thrive. I think he's going to make them better. They're going to make him better. Like, to me, and I put this out on social media, I was trying to think of arguments against starting Keegan Murray. Like, what are the arguments against it? Maybe you feel like maybe it's not the best idea to start Keegan right away, or he more has to earn that than what he's shown so far in Summer League. If that's you, let's talk about it. At Matt George Sack on Twitter, email me mattgeorgesports@gmail.com, or let's talk about it in the YouTube comment section down below if you're watching this on YouTube. The only thing that makes any kind of sense to me, and it's the typical argument that you hear about kind of rushing rookies into starting lineups, the argument is that you don't want to just throw a guy in there, right? That Keegan Murray has never played a single second of NBA basketball. If you put him into the starting lineup on night one, maybe he's not ready for that important role. And typically, when you see teams thrust their rookie into those spots, typically they're bad teams. Like, they're teams that don't necessarily have the highest of expectations, and that rookie can come in and put up points and kind of get acclimated to the game. And it's okay if they lose and the team loses, because that was kind of the expectation all along, right? The Sacramento Kings have the expectation that they are going to compete and try to win basketball games right away. I mean, every team tries to win, but the Sacramento Kings have the expectation that they are going to make the playoffs this year. And in order to do that, in my opinion, they have to get off to a good start before the rest of the league, especially those established teams at the top, really get into their groove, which typically happens around late December, early January. Sacramento, I think, needs to have a really good start to the season. In this case, I actually think that works in favor of Keegan Murray. Because I look at this roster as it's constructed right now. Again, things can change. I look at this roster and I say, what better option do the Sacramento Kings have at that four spot? Who is going to be in that spot over Keegan Murray that gives the Sacramento Kings a better chance to win right now? The answer is there isn't one. The closest answer that I can come up with is maybe you start a small lineup where you have Malik Monk play the two, you have Kevin Huerter play the three, you move Harrison Barnes to the four alongside DeMontis Sabonis. That's a lineup with more NBA experience than Keegan Murray provides, but do you think that lineup, especially defensively, is going to be better than a starting five of Fox, either Monk or Herter, Barnes, Murray, and Sabonis? I don't think so. I think that lineup is immediately better defensively. And bare minimum, if Keegan Murray does half of what he showed in Summer League, again, I don't expect Keegan Murray to come out and first couple months of the NBA average 21 points per game. I don't expect him to play his first seven games and score 20 plus points in six out of seven of them at the NBA level. I'm being realistic here. But honestly, even if Keegan does half that, his strengths complement what the Sacramento Kings are trying to do. His shooting, which he showed off primarily offensively during Summer League, that helps space the floor next to Fox and Sabonis. He moves very well off the ball. He can get up and down the floor in transition. You can play him in multiple roles. He showed that in Summer League. And in addition to that, defensively, he's at least reliable. Or at least we believe he's reliable defensively at the NBA level. I don't think he's going to be a liability. He might not be a great defender from day one. If the Kings can somehow get him to be a good defender by the end of his rookie season, that's definitely a plus. But we all knew that, or we all believe, that if the Sacramento Kings are going to be a better defensive team this year, it's going to be as a team. It's going to be as a group. It's not going to be a couple of individuals hoisting them up, as good as Davion Mitchell is, as good as we hope Keegan Murray can be, right? It's going to be De'Aaron Fox, DeMontis Sabonis, Harrison Barnes, Herter, Monk, Mitchell, all of them defending as a unit, making this Kings team better defensively to the point where even if they're middle of the pack, if the Sacramento Kings are the middle of the pack, let's say 15th or 14th defensively in the NBA, with the offense at the level we expect it to be at, this team should be in a good position to make the playoffs. That's really what's holding them back. Keegan Murray addresses that issue on night one by starting, I think. I think he gives the Kings a better chance defensively to be a solid NBA team. Another argument that I saw, and again, I put this out on social media, and the majority of responses that I got were there isn't one. There's not an argument for not starting Keegan Murray. And I, for the most part, agree. However, another kind of conversation that I saw and then that I thought about was, what if you're concerned about the scoring off the bench? What if you're concerned about once De'Aaron Fox and DeMontis Sabonis get out of the leave the game, who's going to pick up that torch? Maybe you need Keegan Murray to play a majority of those minutes. Maybe you want to start Keegan Murray with the second unit to start the season so that you still have firepower when that second unit comes into the game. I understand that to some extent. I do. However, again, I look at what Keegan Murray provides. And I look at, and I discussed this earlier this week, I think Keegan Murray could still be a starter. And then depending upon how Mike Brown's rotation works, you can take him out earlier than you take out Fox and Sabonis and still have Keegan Murray in there when those two take a rest and he can pick up some of that slack. Plus, a lot of that falls on Davion Mitchell as well, right? Davion at the end of last season showed that he can be a quality offensive guard at the NBA level. Now, that was towards the end of the season. De'Aaron Fox was out, kind of the dog days of the year where not too many teams were as invested, I should say, in defense and in those games as maybe they were at the beginning of the season. Davion Mitchell looked really good offensively. I don't believe that the 20 points per game Davion that we saw at the end of last season is going to be the Davion that we get for the majority of this season. If he is, then he's either the sixth man of the year or the Kings are having to find a way to start him or trading him at the trade deadline for significant value, which I don't think is going to be the case. If that's the case, I mean, what I look at with Davion, I see someone who is going to be a sixth man for the Sacramento Kings. I see someone who's obviously going to help defensively, but when he's in the game, whether it's with De'Aaron Fox or taking over primary ball handling responsibilities from Fox when Fox rests, Davion needs to step up as an offensive player off the bench as well. So I do think Keegan Murray could definitely help the second unit. But again, is Keegan Murray, is worrying about the offensive production of the second unit worth potentially handicapping your first unit? I don't think so. Because we know that the top dogs of this Sacramento Kings team, De'Aaron Fox, DeMontis Sabonis, they're going to have to carry the majority of the load. And I wouldn't necessarily say, you can say, and it's true that Keegan Murray optimally could take some of that load off of their shoulders. But more, the way I look at it is Keegan Murray being out there with those two makes it easy for them, makes it easier for them to carry the weight of that load because he supports them. He helps that. He brings out better parts of their game. He optimizes them when they're on the floor. I don't think there is a good reason. Now, of course, Mike Brown and that Kings coaching staff, they know more than I do, and they're going to be the ones to actually make this decision, and I trust them more than I trust myself, although I'm going to continue to share my opinion on it. And if we go into next season and Keegan Murray's not starting, you best believe I'm going to say something about it. But I don't understand. I don't believe that there's a better option for Sacramento right now at that spot. And it goes deeper, truly deeper than just a hype from Keegan Murray's summer league argument. It goes deeper than, look what Keegan just did. He's probably going to win summer league MVP, averaging 21 points per game in the summer league. It goes farther than that. Because again, I don't expect that version of Keegan Murray to be night one starter for the Sacramento Kings. If he is, then we're talking about an all-star right away. Truthfully, if Keegan Murray is in some or in the NBA, what he was in summer league, he's an all-star and the Sacramento Kings are 100% a playoff team. I have no doubt about that in my mind. But realistically, I don't expect that. I do expect, though, Keegan to be an impactful player on night one. And the best way he can make an impact is playing a majority of his minutes with Fox, with Sabonis, with Barnes in that starting lineup. Again, if you feel differently or if you feel the same, let me know at MattGeorgeSack on Twitter. Email me, MattGeorgeSports@gmail.com. Leave your thoughts in the YouTube comment section down below. I was asked a really good question by a colleague of mine from ABC 10 about the level of competition that Keegan Murray faced in college and in summer league. I'll share that question with you and share my answer to that question. Plus, Vegas has released early betting lines over under the line for the amount of wins they believe the Sacramento Kings or what the line is to bet over under for the Sacramento Kings win total for next season. I'll share with you what that is. We'll get to that after I tell you about Bet Online. Speaking of gambling, betonline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including Major League Baseball happening right now. It's almost All-Star Weekend in the MLB with the Home Run Derby and everything like that, all those festivities. That's plenty of fun to bet on. Plus, you can still right now bet on where you think Kevin Durant is going to end up, Donovan Mitchell is going to end up, Kyrie Irving is going to end up. There's so much fun. DeAndre Ayton as well. Even though he just got that contract from the Phoenix Suns, or they just matched that contract. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, and that includes MMA, boxing, and even golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action at BetOnline, where the game starts. So my friend and colleague at ABC 10, Walt Gray, texted me this question last night, and it really got me thinking, and I think I know the correct answer to it, but it's more of an opinionated question. I figured I'd bring it here to Locked On Kings to share my thoughts on it and to get your input on it. He asked what I thought was more competition for Keegan Murray, playing in the Big Ten at Iowa or playing in the NBA Summer League. Now, the NBA Summer League is professional, or I would say semi-professional, but it's really not. It is professional. These guys are getting paid to play professionally. Now, Big Ten, even though it's not professional, it's probably, in my opinion, a little more competitive. So I thought about this. I went back and forth. I ultimately ended up siding with, I think, Big Ten competition has been and is more difficult for Keegan Murray. I think Keegan Murray faced more of a challenge against Big Ten competition in college than he did against Summer League. Not to disrespect Summer League players, because again, these are guys that have spent time in the G League playing professionally. These are other guys who are top of their teams in college. Plus, he faced Paolo Banchero. He faced Chet Holmgren. He would have faced Jabari Smith Jr. had he played last night, but he didn't. Keegan faced very good players and very solid competition in Summer League, and I'm not taking that away. But what really won me over towards Big Ten is I think there's a lot more to play for. The Summer League, even though there are rings now and even though there's a trophy to play for and yada, 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 the Summer League is significantly shorter. And in addition to that, for guys like Keegan, who are top picks, who know they're going to be in the NBA, know they're going to be in training camp, know they're going to make the main roster, it's a glorified showcase. Like, let's be honest, that's what it is. It's a showcase for Keegan. It's an opportunity for him to show why he was the fourth overall pick and also kind of get him comfortable, get him to play some games, which he hadn't played in a couple months, and get him ready for training camp and ready for the NBA, right? That's the point of it. In Big Ten play, Keegan Murray and Iowa, the Hawkeyes, they're playing to win the Big Ten. They're playing to make it to the NCAA tournament, right? There's a lot to play for. Plus, the big difference to me is that not only is Keegan Murray playing in an established system that he had been a part of for a couple of years, playing for a coach and with teammates that he's spent significantly more time with, he's also facing teams that have done the same. He's facing teams with an established system, with an established defense, an established offense that they've worked hard on for months together. Versus in summer league, it's a collection of a bunch of players who they get together for a mini training camp about a week before summer league begins. They play 7 to 8 games together, including the California Classic. They have sporadic shootarounds and practices in between those games, and then that's it. They're done. Like, even if the overall roster is more talented, even if there's more NBA level talent in summer league that you're facing than in the Big Ten on a typical college roster that you're facing, I believe that a team, a collection of players that buys into a system and works well together is more difficult overall to face than just a bunch of NBA guys and kind of a pickup, more of a pickup style atmosphere, or closer to pickup style than it is organized team play. At least that's the way I look at it. So I personally think that Keegan Murray had it tougher or faced tougher competition in the Big Ten than in summer league. That's not taking away anything that Keegan Murray did in summer league. It still was extremely impressive, and a lot of players weren't able to do what Keegan did, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. I do think, though, that Big Ten, to me, was probably a little more competitive, a little more difficult for Keegan. Maybe you feel the same way. Maybe you feel differently. Let me know. You know how to reach me at @MattGeorgeSack on Twitter, MattGeorgeSports@gmail.com. And let's talk about that in the YouTube comment section as well. Finally, I have to share with you the betting lines out there, the over-under win totals for the Sacramento Kings next year. It's a number that's a little bit surprising. I'll explain that next. We're all desperate, hopeful. We really believe that this could be the team that finally gets the Sacramento Kings to the postseason. Feels like I said it every freaking summer, and for the most part, I have said that every freaking summer. But this team does feel different, right? I go back to some of the things that I was saying about last year's Kings team going into the season. I put together a whole 3-minute compilation of all the stupid things that I said about that team when I believed way too heavily in that team, and it ended up being, in my opinion, the most unwatchable, unlikable Sacramento Kings team of all time. Like, I thought last year's team, I had high hopes for that team, and I thought they were completely dreadful. I hated last season. My least favorite season as a Kings fan, as a Kings media member, as a basketball journalist, just the worst season, in my opinion. So take what I say about this season with a grain of salt, naturally, but I think you can tell, and based off the conversations that I've had with Kings fans, based off the conversations that I've seen Kings fans and heard Kings fans have with one another and other shows that I've listened to, it's almost a consensus belief amongst the fan base that this just does feel different, right? So we expect the Sacramento Kings to be better this year. We expect the Kings to be a playoff team this year. Then we see the early betting lines that have come out. These are from PointsBet USA. This was tweeted out by an NBA account or the NBA bet account. First off, I'll share with you the team that has the highest win total over under, and that's the Boston Celtics at 55.5. The second highest, believe it or not, is the LA Clippers at 53.5. Where are the Sacramento Kings? They're the 7th worst team with a number of 31.5 wins. So over 31.5 wins, so 32 wins or higher, or 31 wins or less. That is the betting line for the Sacramento Kings. I'll tell you right now, I would smash the hell out of that over. I wish I could. Trust me, I really wish I could. I would smash the absolute hell over that over on that number. I genuinely believe that the Sacramento Kings are going to be a close to 40 win team this year. They have to be. They should be an over 40 win team if they're going to be as good as they want to be. I'm not necessarily predicting they're going to win more than 40 games, but if the Kings want to be an established playoff team in the Western Conference, they have to win more than 40 games. And with the roster that they have, with the belief that De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis are going to be as good of a duo as we hope, plus the integration of supportive pieces like Keegan Murray, who could win Rookie of the Year, like Harrison Barnes, like Malik Monk, like Kevin Huerter, Davion Mitchell playing really, really well, potentially winning Sixth Man of the Year. If all these things go right, the Sacramento Kings should be, at the bare minimum, an over 40 win team. 31.5 just seems more of a reputation, like it's the Sacramento Kings, so something will go wrong, more than looking at this roster and really analyzing how good they can be. I think that is a criminal undervalue of this Kings roster at this point in time. Again, I understand why Vegas does it, because it's the Sacramento Kings and the Kings have to prove that they're capable of doing otherwise, but the Kings team that featured Iman Shumpert from a couple of years ago, they won over 31.5 games. They won over 32 games. And that roster was, in my opinion, significantly worse than this roster is right now. So I believe that the Kings are definitely going to cover that. Take the over. Take the over. Cash in on that. And when you win that bet at the end of the year, we'll high-five each other either virtually or in person. And I'll tell you, good job. Way to take that bet. And hopefully we'll be doing that inside the Golden One Center for a playoff game. Hopefully it's a legitimate playoff game, not just a play-in game. Although if the Kings hosted and won a play-in game to get into the playoffs, oh, that would be wonderful as well. I cannot wait till next season. But like I said, now we reach kind of the dead time, the rough time, where I've had a lot of fun over the last few months, especially since really draft lottery night to today. Been turning out a lot of content with the draft and the build-up to the draft and with free agency and with summer league and everything. I've had an absolute blast. It's made this offseason so much fun. I've had more fun this offseason than I had really at any point last season, truth be told. I'm very thankful for the numbers that we've had, for the new audience members, the amount of you who have reached out to me, the amount of you that approached me in Las Vegas and said, hey, I listened to you on Locked On Kings, or I listened to you on D'Lo and KC. And that means so much to me. It truly, truly does. So thank you to everybody who's continued to be supportive of the podcast. This is not goodbye. We are not going away. The schedule of content, the content output, it's probably going to dip a little bit because, again, we're going into the really, really dead times of the offseason. But if anything happens with the Sacramento Kings, of course, we will discuss it here on Locked On Kings. I'm going to have more great guests for you, more unique content to kill the time through the month of August and early September until we get to training camp. Once the Kings and NBA schedules are released, we'll dive deep into that. I do have plans. I do have ideas. It just won't be as consistent as everyday, daily content as maybe you are expecting. I am going to be taking the next couple of days off. I'm going on a camping trip with my family, but I am planning on being back on Wednesday for the next Locked On Kings podcast. And I already know what we're talking about. I put this out on social media as well. Very early Sacramento Kings training camp storylines. There are a bunch of them that I think are worthy paying attention to. I put out, I think, six of my own. And then so many of you have commented on that tweet sharing the storylines that you are including. We're going to discuss a lot of those storylines on the next episode of Locked On Kings. Like I said, I got guests lined up, more great content coming. Plus, if you want any specific content, mailbags, if you want to do another fans only episode, if you want me to discuss anything specifically this offseason, reach out to me. Let me know about that as well. Let's get through these dry, desert, bleak, and bleary hot months together, because sooner or later, we'll be there. We'll be at training camp. We'll be at preseason. We'll be at the start of next season. And then the real fun can truly begin. Again, thank you so much for your support. Really appreciate it. I've had the time of my life this summer, and I owe so much of it to you. Really appreciate it. Can't wait to have you on the next episode of Locked On Kings. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.